James chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 11. I'll read verse 11, and then you read the even verses, and we'll end with the last verse of the chapter. James 4, 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And join with me on this one. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. May God bless the reading of his word. I'll pray and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that has happened already in this meeting. Thank you for the singing of these beautiful hymns and the gospel message that is in them and the worship to you. For you alone, Father, are worthy of our worship and our praise. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, as we mentioned that you've enabled us to have English and Farsi and Spanish preaching and teaching and meetings happening from Sunday to Saturday. Thank you for that, Father. Please bless each one of these. And Father, if there's more that we can do, please give us opportunities as well for those. Father, we know that the hour is short. And we even are reminded of that with James asking us, what is your life? And so God, I pray that in this Bible message, this one message, we'll never hear the same message again. Father, that we would not allow it to go in one ear and out the other. Holy Spirit of God, please put it deep in our hearts. But then I pray that we would apply it by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on this theme. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. It's a little song that we used to sing in Sunday school. And we used to sing at about your hands, what you do, your feet, where you go, your tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Much is said about the tongue, obviously, in this book of the Bible. And each one of us know in one way or another that the tongue is powerful. It's a little member, as it's talked about in the Bible, but it's amazing what this little member can do. It can encourage people greatly. Aren't you glad when someone gives you an encouraging word? An encouraging word. While we focus many times on the negative of the tongue, and we'll mention some of those things, we also don't want to lose sight of how God can help us to use our tongue to edify and encourage another brother or sister in Christ. We can use our tongue, as we've been talking about, to share the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that we don't know if they're saved or not. Thankfully, God has given us this voice to be able to proclaim it. As John the Baptist of old said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. We may not be in the wilderness today, but we're in the concrete jungle. But thankfully, we have a tongue that we can use to bring glory to God. And I would pray and I would hope that in our lives, we would ask God, because every day we need help from the Lord to control this little member, to make sure that this little member is glorifying God and honoring God and not dishonoring God. And it can happen, you and I both know, it can happen like this, right? As the Bible says, one minute, sweet water can be coming out of this. And the next minute, bitter water can be coming out of this. And so we need the grace of God and we need the Holy Spirit of God to help us to guard what we have to say. The tongue can also bring encouraging. It can be harmful, sadly. It can soothe. The tongue can soothe, soothing words. You know, somebody's going through a very challenging time. I know many times it's best just to say nothing. We do need to be led by the Spirit in that way. Sometimes it's just better to listen, maybe to even sit in silence. But as the Spirit leads, this tongue can also give soothing words to someone who's grieving, to someone who's going through a very challenging time. The opposite of that, unfortunately, is this tongue can also bring strife. It can take a problem that's a five and going 5 miles an hour, if problems go down the road, I don't know if they do, but a problem going down the road at 5 miles an hour, and then the tongue can take it from 5 to 100 in no time. Strife can come because of it. Here we have James, of course, as we've said over and over again, but to remind us that this is the first book that the early church in Jerusalem would have had. So it is a very foundational book, and we can remember and think of it in your life and mine. It's a foundational book for us too. As we consider our growing in the Lord, James is a powerful book to help us in that way. We don't want our tongue, I would pray, that we don't want it to be one that is used by the enemy. We want it to be used by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want my tongue to be used by the flesh. You know, the flesh can say a lot of very mean things. And we've all been there. We've all had to ask forgiveness of things that we say. But I pray that as we grow in grace, we would yield the control of this little member over to the Holy Spirit of God. If this is happening in your life where your tongue is not used for honoring the Lord and glorifying Him, it's time for you and it's time for me to recognize it. It doesn't matter how many Bible messages, it doesn't matter how many Bible verses you read or I read about it, if we don't recognize it and admit it, we're never going to grow in that area of our life. Accepting you have a problem or accepting I have a problem is the beginning to growth. To ignore it and to say, no, that's not my problem, you're never going to grow in grace in that way. Whatever it might be, whether it's your tongue or anything else, it's beautiful when somebody says, you know, I have a problem here. Can you help me? That's the first step to growth. That's the first step to getting off the mat, okay? A just man falleth 7 times. It's the first step to rising again is saying, I have a problem and admitting it. It's time to recognize it and then repent of it. If it's your tongue, if it's my tongue, I pray that today we would recognize this area. This is an area where I have a problem within this text. God is speaking to me and God is showing me that I am recognizing it, but then I'm going to take it to the next level, and that is I'm going to repent of it. And when we are repenting of something, this means a change in behavior. It doesn't mean we come to the altar on Sunday and we say, oh, I'm sorry, God. You know, many times people are sorry because they got caught. There's a big difference between being sorry we got caught and then in real, genuine repentance. That's what we need in the local church, in every heart here today, in whatever area it may be. We need a genuine repentance, broken spirit before God, a broken and a contrite heart God does not despise. And truly, we can have great victory in our life. Pastor Adrian Rogers spoke once about going home, and someone told him that going home after church and having roast preacher for lunch, I don't know what I would taste like. You probably would not want to have me for lunch. It's not literal, okay, folks? Don't worry. But be careful what you say around your children about the things of God. Be careful what you say about your spouse to your children, their mother, by the way, or father. Be careful what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. John Phillips said, a sins of the tongue can kill a person as surely as a sword. May God help us not to use this little member to kill, but may God help us to use this little member to give life. So, several things that I would like to give you about avoiding, okay, from this text. So we should avoid speaking. Number one, we find in verses 11 and 12, we should avoid speaking privately about others. Privately about others. Notice our text. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. This speak evil. Speak evil. It's from the Greek word katalalia. And it's talking about someone who goes over to the corner of a room, think about it, and gets their little group together and says, I've got something to tell you about Pastor Yassin. Meet me in the corner after church. You're going to want to hear this. You say, Pastor, nobody would do that. No, they might not do it like that, but they do do it. It's our corners are a little different these days. They're probably on a phone by a text message or whatever it may be. I don't know if it's so much gathering in the corner, but that's the idea of this word, gathering in the corner to pass on confidential information which destroys the name of those who are not there to defend themselves. That's what it's saying. Speak not evil. Don't speak evil of someone in a little group who's the lady or the man, they're not even there to answer for themselves. So, number one, privately about others. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pray for the people privately. That's not, I think you understand the difference between the two, okay? I think we're old enough to understand that. A word that might be suitable for speaking evil of someone in our day, and it's evil still, but we think often of the word gossip. And by the way, let me say this. Even if it is true that what you're saying about that individual is true, it doesn't mean it needs to be said. Especially if they're not there. If you have a problem with someone, there's a Bible way to solve it. It's not to go in the corner and talk to three people that have nothing to do with it. Yes. It's to go to that individual and say, let's be adults, let's have a conversation. Yes. Novel concept, right? Sadly, even in the church, many times we act like the 2 and 3-year-olds at the toy time. Somebody takes my toy, I'm going to go bang them on the head with my toy. You took my toy, I want my toy back. And that's how we act, even as adults sometimes, when somebody talks about us or we talk about somebody else. Look, let's not act like 2 and 3-year-olds. Let's act like adults and use biblical principles. Don't go in the corner. Go to them one-on-one and say, can we chat about this? And if somebody comes to you with the right spirit, agree to it. Don't say, no, I don't want to talk to you. You're just as guilty. You're guilty of something else now. No, be willing to humble. Let's be willing to humble ourselves and say, yes, okay, let's get this dealt with. Figure out, if you need someone involved in it, fine, but start with one-on-one. That's the biblical principle in Matthew. It's not even go to the pastor and tell him. That's not in the Bible. Do you know that? Tell me, move your head if you know that. If you don't see many heads moving, either you're sleeping or I don't know. It doesn't say, if you're offended, go to the pastor. That's not what it says. It says, go to the person first. Do you know why? Because there's some things I don't need to know about. Now, if that person says, no way, Jose, pardon me, Jose. Okay, two of them right here. They weren't the ones involved, by the way. Okay, wow, that actually worked out well. Anyway, if they say that, okay, then you got to go get a second person. You take the second person and you go to that individual. And if they're still stubborn as can be and don't want to talk about it, then you go get somebody from the church. This is a biblical principle. Don't speak evil. Don't go into the corner. Malicious lies with the intent of harming someone's character. Speak evil. That's another what it means to harm someone. Do you know when we say something about someone that's not true, or maybe even true, and they have no way to talk about it, sometimes their character is never able to be recovered. But it wasn't even true. It was malicious. May God deliver us in church. And by the way, this happens in church all the time. And this is what it is. Get your emoji and put one of these. There's nothing good about it at all. It is evil. And the enemy is just laughing himself to the pit of hell when you and I speak evil. And James is saying, he's not saying speak evil of a lost person. Did you catch that? He's saying don't speak evil of somebody in your family, meaning the church family. Remember, this is the foundational book for the early Christians. Please don't lose sight of that. So God must have thought, right? God must have thought, the Holy Spirit must have thought, God must have thought it was so vital to warn them, don't speak evil of your fellow Christian. It's not a good thing. It's not good for anybody, of course, to do that. But especially here in the early book, gossiping is something we want to avoid. Let's go to speaking evil. Let's go to the book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 6. And let's look at something over here. I hope the Lord is, by his Spirit, is helping us this morning. And I hope we're being convicted. I hope we're being shown some things that we could do or we shouldn't do, and that God would get all the glory for it. Notice chapter number 6, verse number 19. The Bible says, this is right in the middle of things that the Lord hates. And if you go up to verse 7, he hates a lying tongue. You might want to underline that. He hates a lying tongue. It doesn't say that God dislikes it. It doesn't say that God thinks it's not too bad. Proverbs 6:17, he says he hates it. There's other things in there, but we're looking at a lying tongue. And then we're looking at verse 19, which is a false witness that speaketh lies. The Bible says God hates that. Then he says, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, if I could give you some counsel, I know you're not really, maybe you are asking for it, but I could give you some counsel. If somebody comes to you and starts talking about someone, here's what you need to do. You need to say, you know what, just a second. Let's go get Pastor Yassin. I'm sorry, I'm just going to pick on you. I might as well just keep going, right? Okay. Let's go get Pastor Yassin and let's talk about it. Right? Let's go get that person that they want to talk to you about. Let's go get them and we'll just sit down, talk about it. And you know what's going to happen? Boom, it's going to go away. There's not going to be anything else said. Because nobody wants to sow discord with somebody, with more than one person there in the powwow. They want it to be one-on-one, and then who knows where that person goes with it, that person goes with it, and then we got a mess. This is not of God, folks. This is not of God. We need to do our best to say, you know what? Let's not do that. Look at Proverbs 26. God's word there tells us in verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Look how severe they are. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. By the way, if you read Proverbs, you read that this morning. Timing. Timing of the Lord. Look how deep those words go down. The emphasis there is saying it's not just on the surface. It didn't say those words just go to the nose. God could have put all kinds of pictures in mind, but the picture in mind that God gives us is those words that are malicious and hurtful, they go down deep into the innermost part of the belly. And you know what it's like when you have an upset stomach. How many of you know what that's like? How many of you like that? No, nobody does. As soon as you start to feel it, you're like, oh no. Dum, da, dum, tums, you know. Sorry, that's the best I could do. It's a commercial from years ago. Anyway, where's the Rolaids? Where's the Tums? Where's whatever you take, the gravel or whatever it's called? You know, when I first heard that term coming to Canada, we didn't have that down in the States, by the way. Just testify a little bit here. Somebody said, go get some gravel. And I'm like, what? What's gravel? That's out in the driveway? You guys eat that stuff here? No, I didn't. Not to that part. Pepto-Bismol, that was the big one when I was growing up, that pink stuff, you know. But you know what I'm saying? An upset stomach ruins your day. I'd rather have, I mean, there's a lot of pains in life, but I don't like that feeling of an upset stomach. You know what God says? The words that we say, it's putting that feeling in someone. If you say, well, I want them to feel that way, well, then you know you have a real big problem. You have a real big problem. So that's the comparison as we think about that. I think maybe we talked about this illustration one time. Four priests met for a friendly gathering. I don't know if these were Old Testament priests or... Anyway, during the conversation, one priest said, our people come to us and pour out their hearts confessing certain sins. It wasn't the Old Testament. Okay. And needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul, and it is, but not to another man, to God. Amen. In due time, all four priests agreed. One confessed he liked to go to the movies and sneak off when away from his church. The second confessed to smoking cigars. Uh-oh. The third confessed to playing cards. The fourth would not confess. The other said, come on, we all confessed. What's your secret vice? What's your sin? Finally, he answered, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but mine is gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here. Don't do that. Don't talk privately about others. This is interesting. I was studying a little bit about this word, speak evil, and in the very, just let me read something to you. In the early founding years of New York State, those who slandered or defamed another person, this is mind-boggling. They were apprehended, and the punishment was to pierce through their tongue with a hot iron, and then they were banished from New York. They took defaming someone's character very, very seriously. The only time it is acceptable to speak in private about someone else is when you are talking to your Heavenly Father about them. One song from years ago said, you can talk about me all that you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. You want to have a private conversation about Pastor Yassin? Just using the illustration, do it in private to your Father in heaven. If you're having a hard time getting along with someone, seriously, I know we're trying to put a little humor into this, but if you're having a hard time getting along with someone, pray about it. Pray about it. Could God not help you with your tongue in that relationship? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody at home. Maybe it is a marital issue. Maybe it's I don't know what the issue is. Maybe it's somebody here at church. Take that individual to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help you. Be a friend. Let's go back to James, please. And look at chapter 1. Pardon me. James 1, verse 19. This was our t-shirt verse many years ago in the youth group. Poor brother Kevin's not here to talk about it, so we won't talk about him. Can't defend himself. He came up with this powerful slogan. He's praise the Lord. Yep, that's it. Just listen. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, all of us. This is not talking about men. This is talking about every mankind. Not just some. What are we all supposed to do according to James 1:19? Swift to hear. That means quick to listen. Then the next one is what we want to emphasize. Slow to speak. Man, I have to tell you so many times in my life, because I think and then I'm ready to say something. Sometimes it's better to digest it first, right? Chew your food at the table. Don't swallow it so fast, you know. I got to chew on what's being said to me. I should, but in my mind, before I actually give a reply. And then slow to wrath. I think those all are coinciding with one another, by the way. If we do listen fast and talk slowly, then we will be slow to wrath. I think they kind of build on each other. So, number one, we want to avoid speaking privately about others. Number two, verses 13 to 15, we want to avoid speaking presumptuously about tomorrow. We want to avoid speaking presumptuously about tomorrow. Look what James says. He says, go to now, ye that say. And then I kind of just think about the, just I put some feeling into these words. Today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city. We're going to just go there for a year, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to get wealthy. They're being presumptuous. I'm going to give you a few things about it. We're just going to go do this and go do that and go do... Look, sometimes it's not what we say as well, but it's also what we don't say. Let's keep reading. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, he's saying, why are you living this way? For what is your life? I have circled those words and underlined those words. And that's not the message today, but boy, that's a powerful thought. What is my life? What am I here for? Am I just a blob for 70 or 80 years and then that's it and everything just ends? No, I'm not. I'm created in the image of God. Lost people are created in the image of God, by the way. All mankind is created in the image of God. But only saved people can bring God glory. That's why you were created. The moment you got saved, the moment you said yes to Christ, now Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created me. All things. And you can make it personal. And for thy glory, I was and am created. I don't know the tense there, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. So no, I'm not just a blob, and neither are you. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here's verse 15. For that ye ought to say. So 13 is what you said, but 15 is what you should have said. Have you ever heard someone say, God willing? Well, that's not just some cute statement. That's a biblical principle. James 1:15. Lord willing. Well, today I'm going to go do this and go do that and go do that. Well, how do you know? You don't know. The Rays got up. I guess I should be careful here. Our missionaries got up, like I said, and we're going to go to church, and they went to church, and we're going to do this, and we've got this planned for the end of August. We've got this planned in August, and you know what God said? Well, no, I've got a different plan. I'm not saying they live that way, but I'm just saying we can all begin to live that way, that we've got our thing planned out. We do need to do things decently in order, but we got to realize that every day is a gift, and we don't know if that day might be the day we meet our Maker. So what do we want to do? We want to be found faithful every day, faithful with this tongue, not to be presumptuous. I'm just going to go do this. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do that. Real? Okay. It's fine to plan, but we want to make sure God's in it. If the Lord wills. Because do you not want God's will? Do I not want God's will? But Pastor, God's will is you've been hobbling around for 3 years. Okay? That wasn't my plan. I had different plans in mind. But I want to live my life according to God's will. I have to say, God, this body is yours. And I need to be okay with that. I don't want to live presumptuously. I don't know if I have 70 years in my life. You don't either. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live doom and gloom, but I don't want to live like, hey, I've got the world by the tail. You don't have anything by the tail. Don't live presumptuously. Mr. Spurgeon said there are two great certainties about things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows, and the other is we do not know. I mean, you could be as smart as Spurgeon if you'd have said that. By the way, he had so many physical ailments. He had very bad gout. I think he was in his 50s when he died. But he really preached the gospel over in England for many years. But he's right. Verse 13, the individual that James is writing about thinks he has life all planned out. Let's think about this verse 13 here for just a minute. First, they choose their own time. See that? Today or tomorrow. They choose their own time. And that's kind of a general way of looking at it. Second, they choose their own location. We're going to go into such a city. Thirdly, they choose their own timetable. Look, we're going to go there maybe a year. And by the way, God is not mentioned at all. It's just we. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. No mention of God. And then they choose their own operation. They will buy and sell. In other words, it's not what was mentioned in verse 13. It's who was left out. So in this way, the tongue was used presumptuously. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Amen? That's how we want to live life. I may not have tomorrow, but if I get there, God's already waiting on me. I'm in his hand. Don't run ahead of God. Boy, this thought really helped me. This verse, these really challenged me and helped me. Proverbs 27:1, I'll read it for you. I have it in my notes. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James said, what is your life? Let's not speak privately about others. Let's not speak presumptuously about tomorrow. And then lastly, verse 16, let's not speak proudly about self. Let's not lift up self. Notice that word boastings. Boasting. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. This word basically means someone who is loud-mouthed. They're always talking about themselves. We don't want that. We don't want that in our life. This word boastings, the history of the word boastings had to do with someone who was bringing their own soap box with them. Do you know what a soap box is? Okay. And they would put that soap box there and they would stand up on top of it. I won't demonstrate. It's not there anyway. And they would put that. I was going to use that and thought, no, I may not stand on that today. That might not be a good plan. No, it's not a good plan. Okay. They would stand up on that soap box and they would just speak so that others could hear what they had to say. Now, you can use them rightfully so. You can preach the gospel from a soapbox. And that's good. That's good use of our speech. But this word boastings, they weren't boasting about God and Jesus. They were boasting about themselves. Or something maybe even that they were selling. And these goods that they were selling were actually phony goods. I was reading about this boastings. And it really, man, it's amazing. It just one word. It takes on a whole new meaning. You know, they were trying to sell a product, boasting about this product that in the end wasn't actually very good to begin with. And then you go back and you reread this verse. Think about that now as you reread this verse. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. You're happy about the fact that you're speaking loudly about something that has no value. He said, such boastings is evil. Wow. Then we think about that as sometimes, if we're not careful, we start promoting ourselves. Let's go to Proverbs 27. again, but let's turn there this time, please. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. We read verse 1 just a moment ago. Let's read verse 2 now. I'll read it. You read it there. It's not quietly. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own what? Mouth. A stranger, and not thine own what? Lips. Let another man praise thee. Don't boast. Don't boast. Such boasting is evil. If we're going to speak and on a soapbox, let's speak about the goodness of God in our life. Let's tell people on Monday when they've come back to work from whatever they did on the weekend, and maybe some of the stuff they did on the weekend wasn't very good, and they're bragging about that, and they're bragging about this and that, talking about this and that, and they're using their mouth, they're using their tongue, which is completely controlled by the enemy. When they're done, and then they pause, get right in there right away and say, let me tell you about what my Sunday looked like. God met with me on Sunday. They might think you're crazy, but that's okay. God met with me on Sunday, and I learned that this tongue of mine, if I don't control it, it can do a lot of damage. And you know what? Maybe there's even somebody you need to go to work tomorrow, and you need to pull them aside. They're lost as a goose in a hailstorm, and you need to go to them and say, you know what? I'm sorry. A few months ago, I said something to you. I shouldn't have said it. Would you forgive me? I don't have that in the notes. God just put that on my heart. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe before we get really serious about this, we need to get serious about seeking forgiveness. Maybe it's somebody in this room you need to go talk to. Maybe it's somebody back home when you get there. I don't know who it is, but maybe there's somebody that we used our mouth in a way that we shouldn't have. Our tongue was not used to soothe. It was used to bring strife. Praise God for forgiveness. Amen. Praise God for forgiveness. He can help us to recalibrate our tongue. Recalibrate that thing. And say, when we get up tomorrow, when we go home today, when we leave here, God, this tongue, I'm laying my tongue on the altar. Don't pick it back up. Leave it on the altar. Don't speak privately about others. Don't speak presumptuously about tomorrow. May God help us not to speak proudly about ourselves, but instead, might we speak about the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you're not saved, you need Jesus. I'm so glad I can still open my mouth and speak and tell you, you need Jesus. You don't need Anchor Baptist Church. You don't need Pastor Turner. You don't need the baptismal tank. You need Jesus. Don't leave here today without Jesus. Secondly, be someone who changes our way of our talking and saying, if God wills, Lord willing. You get to the end of saying something and remember, wait a minute, I got all these plans, God willing. And not just something that you're just saying to like a parrot, but that it's coming from your heart. Seriously, if God's not in this move, if God's not in this relationship, if God's not in this job, if God's not in this, I don't want it. God willing, this is the plan. And then maybe you need to go to someone. Instead of going over to the corner and talking about him, you need to go to them. Maybe you need to go to God and just ask God to help that individual. You're not judging them. You're just saying, God, help that individual. And I want to help them. God, help me to help them. Let's not focus only on the things we shouldn't say, but let's focus on the things that we should say. And then, if I'm correct, as a husband, we need to not only focus on the things that we say, but it's, hey guys, it's how we say it. How many of you men know about that? It's how you say it. Come on, guys, get your hand up. This is the time. All right, the ladies are double hands. That's even better. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I said. Yeah, but that's not how you said it. It's not about what you said, dear. It's how you said it. It's called tone, guys. These women know tone. They're very, very good at that. And I'm glad they are. They keep us in line. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Let's pray.